Welcome back. Don Henley, heart of the matter, and we'll attempt to get down to the heart of the matter when my conversation with UFO disclosure advocate Victor Vigiani resumes momentarily. Why does disclosure matter? Why are we so hell-bent on getting government officials to break this truth embargo? Why do we need to hear it come from them? We'll find out Victor's take on that, and we'll also follow up on our earlier conversation regarding his efforts to get the chair of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security, Peter King at the time, to talk about UFOs tampering with U.S. nuclear sites, nuclear bombs. And I just wanted to bring you up to date. Not really a whole lot to report regarding the Australian hostage situation in that Sydney cafe, other than to say that I believe at last count we have 5 of the hostages have now escaped. That's official. And we are now being told that police are in negotiations with the gunman holding the hostages. They are not revealing his motivation, his possible motivation. And we are now being told that demands have been made. They are being posted on social media, but police in Australia are asking that those demands not be made public or not be reported. And I'm going to respect that because I don't think we need to give this individual any more publicity or leverage. We don't need to give him any, quite frankly. Listen, we'll pick up on the other side again with Victor Vigiani, talking about U.S. or UFO disclosure, and we'll also get to your calls. You're listening to Coast AM. Stay with us. And we are back with Victor Vigiani, Executive Director of Zealand News Network, UFO disclosure advocate. I want to follow up on our conversation earlier before the break, Victor, and your efforts to really hold U.S. Representative Peter King's feet to the fire. Here he was, the chair of the U.S. Subcommittee on Homeland Security or Counterterrorism and Intelligence. And we have this press conference at the National Press Gallery hosted by Robert Hastings, in which a number of U.S. military personnel testifying that they personally witnessed unidentified aerial phenomena tampering with nukes. Now, if that's not a national security issue, I mean, let's take, the whole idea of little green men from Mars out of the equation. We have unidentified aerial phenomena tampering with nukes, and the chair of the Subcommittee on Intelligence and Counterterrorism has nothing to say about the issue.
Well, actually, he did have something to say about it, Richard. He did. I want to direct people, first of all, if they want to read the entire press release that the Zealand Communications that we released, they should go to our website, the blog spot, zealandcommunications.blog, and read the press release that we sent to everyone. And in that press release, there is a whole outline of what we did with Congressman King. Now, in that context, what happened subsequent to that, well after all of our conversations with his staff, intransigent conversations, by the way, extremely intransigent conversations, what happened during the citizen hearings on disclosure last in April and May of 2013, Robert Salas did his testimony. He came forward and he gave a beautiful series of testimonies regarding his experiences and the ones of the other launch commanders. And the day after that, on May the 2nd, in the New York Daily Times, a writer, the name Dan Friedman, wrote an article, and he actually spoke this writer, Dan Friedman, spoke with Peter King and asked Peter King, Robert Salas gave this testimony about nuclear missiles being shut down and you receiving all this information. What do you have to say about that, Congressman King? And King's response was this, and you got to get a load of this one. I have no idea what the guy is talking about. I'm quoting now. We are always getting crazy stuff in the mail by people whose brain has been taken over by aliens or something. This is a quote
Wow.
from the congressman, the chairman of the National Security, of the Homeland Security Committee in the House of Congress, knowing full well that we have sent him all this information, the documentation from each one of the testimonies of these launch commanders. Now, to me, and I don't care what the consequences are, Richard, I don't care at all. The man is a bald-faced liar. We know that he received the information. He acknowledges that he received it, but yet he stood in front of the press and said he had no idea what the guy, a veteran, a man who defended his country in Robert Salas, defended his country in a bunker 60 feet below the surface on a day-to-day basis, standing on guard. And this man, King, who stands up apparently for veterans' rights and their authenticity, denigrates this man, Robert Salas, to a point calling him a crazy and a nut brain whose alien, whose mind's been taken over by aliens. Now, this is unconscionable from the point of view of a political person who's been elected by people to represent the truth. And as far as we're concerned, this is something that we are yet not finished with this. This is something we are going to pursue, that we're going to hold this man's feet to the fire because he's totally unaccountable for his words.
Well, the expression blood from a stone comes to mind. I mean, why, after all of this time, Victor, and all of your efforts and your colleagues, like Stephen Bassett, are you still holding up any hope in hell that you're going to get these people, politicians, to actually, you know, come out and say, yes, we admit it, we've been lying for the last 70-plus years, and we are being visited by extraterrestrial civilizations, and they are interacting with human civilization and perhaps even government officials and so forth. Why do you still persist in believing that this is going to happen? Because I, quite frankly, don't see it.
Well, I guess I can take you back to, I guess, the 1400s, when people like Christopher Columbus and Vasco da Gama and all those people set off to sail to a land, to frontiers of unknowns. They got on these ships, these old rickety things that were, you know, barely seaworthy, and they decided to launch themselves towards this supposed new world on the other side of this huge body of water. And they wanted to experience new frontiers. And they wouldn't say no. They kept on launching the ships, Richard. They did not stop. And as a result, between them, or among them, the Vikings and all the people that cross this huge body of water from the safe home of the reality of Europe, they made their way across this body of water that we call the Atlantic, and they came to rest on new territory. That's why we're doing this. We will relentlessly keep on launching our ships to make our way across this chasm to the reality that the humanity needs to know this information, and it will come out eventually. There's absolutely no doubt about it in our minds. And that's why we pursue this so relentlessly. It has to happen. It will happen. And this is the nature of humanity. In our consciousness, it's embedded in every single individual on the planet. It's part of our DNA to know where we come from and what is beyond our own reality. And we know we are part of a cosmos that's teeming with life. We know that. It's a fact in our own DNA. And we are relentless in the pursuit to find out the truth. And liars like Peter King will not stand in our way.
Let's go to the phones. The wild card line in Buffalo. It's Roy. How are you, Roy? Do we have Roy?
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Roy. Welcome.
Hey, Richard. Hi, Victor. How you doing?
Just fine, Roy.
Okay. Victor, before I cut to the chase, I agree with you. Peter King is a right-wing nut. I mean, he defended a guy that murdered an individual, so... you're not going to get anywhere with Peter King. But let me cut to the chase here, okay? Mm-hmm. I'd like to challenge you, Victor. In my job, in my life, daily I deal with the scientific... You're familiar with the scientific method, no doubt.
Of course.
Yes, and in my reality, as an individual, and I believe as a society, we advance through applying the scientific method to any issue, to any circumstance, okay? Other than that, we're being asked to step out on faith, which is real, but it's an intangible. But my challenge to you, sir, is to produce hardcore empirical evidence that UFOs, the paranormal, ghosts, God, double the angels are real, and not just a work of fiction and fiction and fantasy sell. They sell dime store novels, movies. Daily we see it on advertisers deal in fiction, but it's intangible. For me, being a man of science, I have to deal in reality. So I challenge anybody that comes out with an issue, a theory, you know, put your theory to the test. Let's see some hardcore evidence. As far as the young man that you described having aliens go through his window somehow by osmosis, I'm sure you're familiar with what a savant is. Are you not?
Mm-hmm.
Savant? Sounds to me like this young man is a savant. And it sounds to me like, you know, you can convince yourself of anything, and you can convince anybody of anything if you use psychology. And there's things in the brains called neurotransmitters. I'm sure you know what neurotransmitters are. They can't produce hallucinations. And a lot of our political leaders must have something wrong with their neurotransmitters, because they deal in hallucinations every day. But my challenge to you, sir, is please produce hardcore empirical evidence, and don't give me the cop out of stepping out on faith, because faith is—it's real, but it's an intangible. Ideal.
All right, let's have Victor respond, Roy. Thank you.
Yeah, I respect your point of view, Roy. I have no issue with it at all. In terms of what science can provide, and science has been a pretty good barometer as to, you know, it integrating itself into a basic physical reality of what we know about the cosmos, and that's fine. But what do you do with evidence from an astronaut like, you know, there's several of them, okay? A Cooper. I mean, and this man came forward and said against his oath that every single day UFOs, craft of unknown origin, are being picked up on radar by NASA and by the United States government. And everyone is afraid to admit it. How do you deal with an admission like that from an astronaut, Gordon Cooper, respected American hero? Do you call this man a liar? I mean, it's anecdotal evidence. I realize that, but we cannot depend on science to provide all of the information that we know about the cosmos. There's so much out there in the cosmos that science is totally inept to describe. They don't know what inchoate matter is. They don't know how energy transmutes into energy. They have no idea what the quantum physics is about that. And science has become totally inadequate in providing us with any kind of perspective on what this matter is all about. And the anecdotal evidence by government officials saying that they've been involved with this stuff for over 65 years, and that I know, that we know, and that they know they're hiding the truth, I'm sorry, that kind of evidence in a court of law will produce a guilty verdict. And that is immutable as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, I think the fact is that you can't argue whether or not UFOs are real. We know that there are unidentified flying objects. What we can quarrel with is, you know, who are they, or what are they, and where do they come from, and what do they want? Those questions, you know, we may not have, you know, a scientific answer for, but we have reams and reams and reams of government documents which prove the United States government and other governments around the world are concerned about the UFO issue. I mean, that much you can't argue with.
You can't argue with it, for sure.
Let's say hello to Ricky, who is on the wild card line, joining us from Honolulu, Hawaii. Ricky, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you. Great show. If I may make a comment to the previous caller, I don't think it's your guest that needs to come forward with the evidence. I think it's the shadow governments and our governments that are hiding the evidence that it seems full well they have. You know, apparently they have evidence of aliens and craft they've recovered and all of that, but they don't want to tell us. But that's not what I called to ask about. Remember when you told us your story about what happened to you when you were in your bunk bed, you know, when you were 12 or 13, and mm-hmm. you saw those three figures walk by the door?
Mm-hmm.
If that had happened to me when I was 12 or 13 in my house, I definitely wouldn't have gone back to sleep. And you sound like a really passionate fellow. I mean, man, I would have either gotten up and tried to follow them or run into my parents' room to see if they were all right and definitely talk to them about it. So I was wondering what the rest of your story was. I mean, did you get up? Did you try to follow them? Did you talk to your folks about it? What did you do? I mean, that's a pretty powerful event you had happen.
You know
Excellent
what?
Point, Ricky.
You know what? Your name again, sir? I'm sorry.
I'm a lady. I have a deep voice, and my nickname is Ricky, but I'm a lady.
Okay, Ricky, that's fine. That's fine. You know what? I don't know what I did, to be really honest with you. I really don't know. I remember the last figure walking by the door. That's all I remember. I either fell back to sleep, or I really do not know what I did after that. I'm being very, very honest with you. Just to have a clue, maybe something happened that I don't recall. My understanding of this whole issue of the abduction phenomenon, that it is familial, that it goes through generations, so that if someone has had an experience, it's almost endemic to the process that their parents have been through it too. So, I mean, my mom and dad never even talked to me about any of that kind of stuff, and that's all I'd have to go on. But from what I recall, I saw that third figure walk by. I just fell back to sleep, I guess. I'm not even sure what happened after that. I didn't jump out of my bed, didn't feel motivated to jump out of my bed to do anything about it. And it was just that experience, and that's all I can say about it, as bizarre as that might be.
Ricky, thanks for the call. Let's say hello to Eddie East of the Rockies, New York City, checking in. Eddie, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, very good to be on the program. What a great show you got tonight.
Thank you.
What I was going to say was that the government will probably never leak the information to the public. What I'm going to tell you is the information that has been out now for the past few years about UFOs and aliens. MUFON is the one that's doing it, and in a TV program called Unsealed Alien Files. I don't know if you've ever watched it on TV.
I watched it regularly.
However,
I watched it regularly, yes.
Yes. Now, according to what I've seen on there, they have proof. I saw the papers that Gary McKinnon, you know who Gary McKinnon is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Gary McKinnon is a man who hacked NASA's files. He wanted to find out what this alien business was all about. He hacked their files, and we learned from him that NASA has had a secret space program where they have a fleet of starships going throughout the solar system here, and they're working with, quote, non-terrestrial offices. That means extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've learned from this, and this has been out. This information has been released. It's out there, but yep. MUFON is the one that's doing it.
And
they are releasing it, not the government.
Yeah, quite frankly, you're right in saying that an unsealed. I have a few issues with Unsealed Alien Files. I've got a few issues in the way they're portraying their information, and that's really not the topic of your conversation right now. That I disagree with in one sense, but what I do understand and agree with is the way Unsealed Alien Files is portraying itself. It's getting information out there, and I do congratulate MUFON. In the way that they're handling this, because I've always had a major issue with MUFON just being sort of a nuts and bolts organization, not dealing with the realities of extraterrestrial contact. They're becoming more ingrained and more involved in and enhanced with this whole issue. So I do have to congratulate MUFON on these newfound ways of portraying the information.
All right, Victor, we'll take a timeout, come back, get to some more calls, and continue to delve into disclosure, if and when. Back with Coast to Coast, Elton John taking us into the break with Tiny Dancer. And we'll get back to our conversation with UFO disclosure advocate Victor Vigiani and your calls in just a moment. But on the question of, you know, when disclosure will arrive and how will it arrive, I have to ask myself, in order for disclosure to take place, U.S. government officials, for example, would have to admit that they've been lying to the public for more than 70 years about the existence of UFOs. And then in order for them to admit that UFOs are real, they'd also likely have to admit that they're in possession of advanced UFO propulsion systems, antigravitics. And if they admit that, then they'd have to admit that they have blood on their hands. Because while they sat on these advanced propulsion systems, astronauts in the Gemini and the Mercury programs and the shuttle program were dying as a result of rocket fuel explosions. So let me ask you, if you were in their position, would you disclose? Back with more of my conversation with Victor Vigiani on Coast to Coast AM. Back with Victor Vigiani. Victor, let me ask you, I mentioned during the last segment that those individuals that are responsible for keeping a lid, the keepers of the UFO truth embargo, if you will, they have blood on their hands. Would you concur with that?
Well, they definitely do. There's no doubt about that. It's quite clear that the American government and as well as international governments, they all have blood on their hands. It's the biggest secret in history. That's been repressed and thrown behind a tall wall of incredulity. There's no doubt about it. It's been kept secret, and everybody has blood on their hands. There's just absolutely no doubt about it. Now, your comments regarding whether or not you'd want to admit to having blood in your hands is a very good question. I don't have an answer to that. And if the government, this all goes back to human rights, Richard. I mean, there are two ways to look at human rights. Okay, there are the human rights that so-called have been given to us by the government. Okay, they set out a constitution and they set down human rights of freedom of speech and all of that, freedom of press, and you know these fathers of the constitution set this out. Okay, that is one question. Okay, the other question is where did they get the rights from? These rights did not come from them. Okay, it's the whole idea of where human rights comes from. These rights of freedom of information and freedom of speech, they did not originate from the government. These are rights that have been given to us as human beings. These are not rights that have been then sort of delivered or as a gift to us as humanity. These are rights that we had long before constitutions were put in place. So when you move into that kind of thing, It's a matter that humans have these rights as given to us by the Creator. We had these rights long before any constitution
right.
said that we had it.
Right. Let me ask you on the question of disclosure then. If
yep.
would you be willing,
mm-hmm.
if you had the power,
yep.
to grant amnesty for all of those individuals that have been part of this truth embargo? That have been sitting on, let's say, free energy, or that have been sitting on advanced propulsion systems that would have...
Or cured cancer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you grant amnesty in exchange for disclosure?
Wow, that's a really important question. Somebody has to pay the price. I really believe that in the long run. But the question of amnesty and conflict resolution with this whole matter, if this matter were to come forward, I think, as personally speaking, I would grant any price for that, and I would resolve the government of any culpability in this if they came forward with all of the information. Now, that is assuming that the government is capable of releasing everything. That's disclosure with a big D or is disclosure with a small D. And right now, I would not trust the government to disclose everything. There will always be something that they hold back. So how do you challenge the government to release everything? And the only way that can happen, Richard, is bypassing the government. Bypassing the government and assuming that the government has everything on this, because they really don't. The only people that have all of the information are the extraterrestrials themselves, and they are the ones that will grant us full acknowledgement and opportunities to understand what that is. By bypassing government and giving the people, us, humanity, the real goods on this whole thing. So in effect, what the government has on this is virtually immaterial. If these ETs, whoever they might be, wherever they're from, however they may manifest themselves, if they have the capability to inform humanity about who they are and what they are and why they're here and what's going on in the cosmos, then the government becomes a non-player in the issue. They, in essence, bypass any government acknowledgement. So in that sense, the government is not a player. They're out of the game. They're out of the poker game if the ETs, whoever they are, come forward in that way. And that's a really big challenge for whoever these civilizations are. And that's a massive challenge. And it really does speak to the issue of who they are and why they want to inform us about their presence.
All right, let's go to the first-time caller line. Bob is in Tennessee. Bob, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yes, sir. I have a wondering for a lot of years why the Vatican, the church, Catholic Church, with all their scientific studies, why they haven't come out with some kind of statement, especially with what Pope Francis said, that he would be glad to baptize any alien that ever came to him. And so I thought it was kind of cavalier for him to say that so easily, and yet there it is. Your comments, please.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I'm thankful to you for bringing that issue up. And I'm of the opinion that the Catholic Church is one of the entities, one of the political, and I use that word with a capital P, one of the political entities who knows more about this than maybe even the American government does. So in that sense, I'm waiting for the Church to become much more definitive on this. And I think Pope Francis is just the one who might eventually come forward with more information. Now, there is no reason on this planet why the Catholic Church should begin to change its mind on the extraterrestrial issue, because the Church does not change its mind on anything. They may change their mind every 500 years, but in the recent past, they have articulated a position on extraterrestrials that has been unprecedented in the modicum of change that they have imbued with their faithful. And they've opened the doors to an open dialogue about this issue. And so from that perspective, I'm fully expectant that the Church could be a main player in allowing whoever these beings are to come forward within their own frame of reference within the Church to disclose themselves. There's all kinds of opportunities for the Church to be a major player in this without even involving the government. And that's why I think the American government is vastly afraid of the SIV, the Servizio Intelligenza del Vaticano, who know the full story on this, who've been informed about this, to come forward in a very provocative way. But then again, they have to receive confirmation in other ways that this information is in fact real, because there are all kinds of ways that intelligence agencies can play down whatever the Vatican says. So you raise a very, very important issue.
But these announcements aren't coming directly from the Vatican. They're coming from, let's say, the director of the Vatican's observatory in Arizona and so forth. Why are they choosing that route?
Because the Jesuits are in charge of this, Richard, and these are all Jesuits that are doing it. And the Jesuits have a cornerstone on this matter. Why do they have one of the largest telescopes on the planet in Arizona? Why do they keep on making these pronouncements about the extraterrestrial issue? The Jesuits have an in on this. I don't know how, I don't know why, but my inside information from the Catholic priest that I spoke to you about earlier, he has some very, very serious contacts with Jesuits who know what's going on, and who have just as much at stake to reveal or not reveal what's going on. So the Jesuits are a much more powerful order within the Catholic Church than most people really understand. So they could be a major player in all of this. To what extent, I'm not sure, because I don't have all the answers. But all I'm telling you is that if you really want to know what the Catholic Church knows and feels about this, investigate what the Jesuits believe, and that's what the Vatican believes.
What are your thoughts on Richard Dolan's theory? I believe it's most commonly attributed to Richard Dolan, and that is the breakaway civilization theory. That is that the elites, these individuals that have in their possession this free energy, advanced propulsion systems, back engineered from perhaps UFO crash debris, that because they have this advanced technology, they constitute a breakaway, almost a separate civilization from the rest of us. And who knows, they may already be off planet. They may have manned colonies on Mars or, the capability of interstellar travel. And given that, why on earth would we ever expect them to divulge that? I mean, they don't have any skin in the game anymore. They don't give a tinker's damn what happens to planet Earth at this point, do they?
You raise an extremely diverse problem, Richard, because I know Richard Dolan very well, I completely understand why he puts that point of view across. And in one sense, I am of the opinion that whoever the entities are that understand what these new propulsion systems are, and my understanding is that they've known this for a long, long time. They know how to totally dismiss our previous understandings of propulsion and understand now how antigravitic propulsion or other kinds of propulsion using free energy can move us beyond the planet. And I'm of the opinion that has in fact happened. Okay. Now, what we need to understand is that when this information does come about the breakaway civilization, and if in fact it is true that we are in fact, or that some entities within the government are exploring the cosmos in ways that we don't understand, there is going to be a major revolution on the planet, and I think they're going to have to deal with that. It will enhance the mode of obfuscation and lying and prevarication that the government has been involved in for the past 30 or 40 years. And that could bring about a major revolution that could be very deleterious to disclosure. So that whole idea of a breakaway civilization, people who can travel off planet and divest themselves from any of the bondages that we have restrictions on our own planet, that will be a form of abuse of humanity that will be unconscionable and could trigger a massive revolution. In knowing that the general public will realize that the American government or some faction within it have enjoyed these other kinds of exploration that we know nothing about. And that could be the seed, the wick of an explosion that we won't be able to even control if that information comes out. So it's a double-edged sword, what Richard Dolan is uncovering.
If that is the case, then maybe an argument can be made for the truth embargo, that if such chaos were to ensue, maybe we better just keep a lid on this thing.
And remain in ignorance for the rest of our existence. Yeah, I mean that's been the way of the planet. That's been the way of governments. That's been the way of nation states since their inception, to keep things from the people that the elite has imposed upon the plebeians of the planet. And that could be a form of existence that we will be relegated to for the rest of our being. And that's a very strong possibility, Richard. I don't discount that. I don't discount that in one way or another. But I always rely on, the backdrop of relieving ourselves from the lies and obfuscation. That's always been an endemic part of humanity. That is something that eventually our consciousness will uncover, and that all of humanity will realize that they're being lied to. Now, what the repercussions of that will be, I have no idea. I don't have a clue what that will be. But the fact of the matter, however the truth will come out, will be very painful, very, very painful. But if it does come out, it will have to come out in a way that everybody understands it and is realized over the course of humanity. It's the next step in our evolution. And if we are to evolve into the beings that we are supposed to become, and that we are, proffered to become according to the scriptures and to everything that these extraterrestrials are pointing to, if this next step in evolution is bypassed, we are in big trouble. And that's where we're standing right now. We are on the next step of our own evolution. And if we deny that next step, we are forsaken. We are a forsaken race, and we don't know where we go from there. And that's not a very nice thing to say. But in fact of the matter, that's where we stand right now.
Well, and until that day comes, disclosure, that is, big D, little D, whatever, however you want to call it, mm-hmm. How are you going to busy yourself? Are you just going to keep, banging your head against that door and hoping that one day somebody opens it? Or what are you going to do? How are you going to spend the rest of your days, Victor?
Well, it's like the doctor, you go to the doctor and, the doctor says, as soon as I raise my right arm, I get all kinds of pain. The doctor says, well, don't raise your right arm.
Exactly.
I'm not willing to not raise my right arm. I cannot stand down from this issue. And all of us, and I know I can speak for the research community in this way, that we will not stand down in attempting to tell the truth. It's a truth that has to be told. And as long as the truth is hanging out there, and as long as the truth is there to be talked about, to be dialogued about, to raise our level of awareness, and to take that next step in our evolution, there are people within our research community that are bent on doing that. They're compelled to do it, and they won't relent from it. And so it's not something that we can back away from. It's not something we can say, well, you know what, we've given our best shot. We've done as much as we can do, so let's just let fate take its course. No, that's not an option. We have to keep the pedal to the metal. We have to keep working on this to a point where eventually humanity becomes a part of the whole dialogue. Everyone on the planet becomes a part of the dialogue. And that's what we're working towards. And there's no way around that. I just don't see any other way of capitulating. And if we do capitulate, do you know who we're capitulating to? We're capitulating to the likes of Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, and the whole cabal that's trying to control things to make us understand reality in their terms and not the cosmic reality that exists before the entire human species. And that's where we're at right now. I do not want to believe what Dick Cheney believes. I do not want to believe what the cabal believes. I do not want to believe that. And I think I can speak for a lot of people in the UFO research community on that point.
Well, isn't Obama then part of that cabal? I mean,
For sure. There's somebody with he's a puppet. I mean, I don't want to get into the graphic analysis of what I feel about that man. He's the greatest disappointment in American history. He's lied. He's even a better liar than George Bush. He's enacted more secrecy legislation than George Bush did in his entire administration. So this man is an entire embarrassment to the truth, to the truth embargo.
And he was supposed to be the disclosure president. Listen, Victor, a pleasure. Thank you for spending 3 hours with us.
It was an absolute pleasure, Richard, and I thank all of your listeners for staying with us, and I thank you for inviting me on the program, and I hope we can do this again.
Victor Vigiani, thank you. For George Noy, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Dan Galanti, Tim Banal, Nathan Staten, Tricia Pepe, and here in Toronto, Scott Guest, Gord Harrison, Jackie Sakellaropoulos, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your voices, your beautiful voices. So long for now.